All right, we're recording now.
Assalamu
alaikum. Assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
And today is going to be about the name of Allah, As-Salam.
Peace.
The name of Allah, As-Salam. So, as-salam has two meanings. As-salam has two meanings. And I'm going to only explain the main meaning of as-salam, which is the owner, the true owner of security. That security means security from harm. Which is called peace. The true owner of the security from harm. Now, when you meet a Muslim, what do you say? Assalamu alaikum. What does it mean when you say to somebody,
"Peace be upon you"?
Meaning what?
I will not hurt you.
Takbir.
Allahu
Akbar. MashaAllah. So smart.
Seriously?
Yeah. It means that I am coming in peace. I am not going to hurt you. I am not coming to cause trouble to you. I am coming in peace. Then the Muslim replies, "Wa alaikum assalam," which means
same
thing to me too. So I am not going to hurt you. I am coming on peace. I'm coming in peace. Now, is it acceptable when you greet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it acceptable that you greet Allah by saying assalamu alaikum?
No.
Why not? Exactly. Yeah. Who are you to say to Allah, "I am not going to hurt you. I am securing you from my harm. I want you to feel secured from my harm. I'm not going to hurt you." Excuse me, who are you to say to Allah that? So it would be an ignorance to say to Allah, "Assalamu alaikum." When Khadija radiallahu anha was sitting with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Angel Jibreel came and he said to the Prophet, "Read salamu alaykum. Read salam to Khadija from Allah. Read salam to Khadija from who?
Allah.
And give her the news of a pearl house in Jannah made of pearl.
Pearl.
Made of pearl. And give her the news about this house, and it's full of peace and full of joy." So when the Prophet ﷺ told her that, she said, when he told her Allah is reading salam to you, she didn't say, "And read Allah salam from me." She didn't say, "And say to Allah, wa alaykum salam." When he told her that Allah is telling you salamu alaykum, she didn't say, "And say to Allah, wa alaykum salam." Why?
Because he's the most powerful.
Because she is an Arabian lady, and she understands what does it mean, what's the meaning of the word.
Yeah.
So she knew better, just like you said, she knows he's very powerful, and it's not appropriate to say that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, when the Prophet met Allah during the heavenly journey, how did he greet Allah? Huh? MashaAllah takbir. He greeted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, "At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat." Greetings to Allah and greetings to Allah. Prayers belong to Allah and good deeds are inspired by Allah. Or good deeds are from Allah. Good deeds are from Allah because He's the one. Without Him, we can't do good deeds, can we?
No.
Right? Because He sent us the guidance, He gave us the ability to go to do good deeds, and He helped us be able to do good deeds, etc., etc. So Allah replied, As-salamu alayka ayyuha al-nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Security to you. I grant security, my security to you, the Prophet, and my mercy and my blessings. All right? And then the angels, all of them say, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So all angels replied together and salam to us and to the righteous believers from Allah, and we bear witness that there is no God except Allah and Muhammad is His messenger, His prophet.
Yes.
So that's the way to greet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. Now, Allah, the Jannah, is called the house of As-Salam. The house of Salam. Jannah is called, is called by Allah in Quran. The house of Salam. Dar Salam. And you know what city also is called Dar Salam?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Dar Salam. Dar Salam. Jerusalem.
Wait, Dar Salam is the capital of Palestine.
Yes, but I mean, let's focus here on Jerusalem. It was called Dar Salam. Jerusalem, Darussalam, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. So, but Jannah is Dar al-Salam, meaning what? It's a house of safety and security. Now, would anybody be able to harm you inside Jannah?
No.
It's an everlasting, eternal security from harm and pain. And that's why Jannah is called Dar al-Salam. It's the house of everlasting safety and security. You got it?
But Jerusalem is not that safe.
Yeah. It's not a true Dar es Salaam. It was just given that name. Just like calling somebody Jannah. Well, you know, or calling a place Jannah. It's not really paradise. It's just a name.
Can you call somebody Jannah?
Like... Yeah, you can call a girl Jannah. And it's used, the name. The name Jannah for girls is used. Now, Allah is the true owner of Salam. Why? Because if Allah decides to grant you Salam, nobody in heavens and earth has the ability to hurt you. If Allah says Salam to you, you're done. Nobody is going to hurt you at all. Now, if I say Salamu Alaikum, I am only saying I'm not going to hurt you. But I can't guarantee that nobody else will hurt you. But when Allah says Salamu Alaikum, once you hear that word, that's the end of any kind of harm.
Has He said Salamu Alaikum to anyone before?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels are going to say, when you go to Jannah, you're going to hear Idkhuluha bisalam. Enter with salam. That's it. You go there, the house of salam. And this is how Allah secures you from any harm, by putting you in Dar al-Salam, the house of salam. Alright? There are, you know, you can imagine, there is nobody on heavens and earth that can harm you when Allah secures you. Nobody can override the salam given by Allah. If a king gives you salam, all right, that's not a real salam. That is a fake salam. Why? Because you still can get hurt even though the king or the president gave you salam, security from harm. You can still be hurt. You can be shot. The president himself can be shot, like Kennedy, for example. Okay. You can fall down in your face and get hurt. You can a stronger king can arrest you. You can travel overseas where the president doesn't have the power, and then you're hurt really bad overseas. What I'm trying to say here is that no one is able to guarantee you salam at all, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Now, what does it mean to us that Allah is the true owner of salam, and Allah is the true owner of security, that He's securing you from harm, security from harm? A lot of people seek salam. First of all, who doesn't want salam here? Who's not interested into salam?
No one.
No one, right? It's like, okay, it's like I'm looking to be harmed. Come on. You really? Yeah, I want to be harmed. I want to be hurt. Who wants to be hurt?
Evil.
Nobody.
Evil people.
Huh?
Evil people.
What?
They like pain. Good.
No, no. No, but nobody, you know, in his right state of mind is going to hurt him or herself, really.
Yeah? Emo.
Only people with mental problems, mental problems. It's just some kind of, you know, not an ordinary thing. So everybody wants salam. Now the question is, how do you seek salam? There are two ways to seek salam. You can seek salam from people who own power and money. So you go seek salam of the president. Now, in order to get the salam of the president, you have to make the president happy. Okay? Now, if this president is a righteous president, to make him happy is by doing righteous deeds. But the question is, what if this president is not a good president? And to make him happy, to make that president happy, you have to betray Allah. You have to betray Islam.
Oh my God.
For example, you have to say that homosexual marriages are okay. Otherwise, he would be mad at you. I'm just giving you an example. Because just it happened, it came to my mind because of what is happening nowadays.
Yeah.
Let's say, okay, I will be mad at you unless you say that homosexual marriage is okay. And then you are not going to get my salam unless you say homosexual marriage is what? Okay. Then.
You can do that.
No. If you betray Islam, there is no way you can accept homosexual marriage without betraying Islam. There's no way out. It's like either or. I mean, completely opposite. I mean, it's in Islam, it is completely opposite. That it's completely well known, well established that homosexuality is not acceptable. Okay? It's not acceptable by Allah. And this law is never going to accept homosexuality. This is among the moral values that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is among the moral values that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change with time and place. So if you decide to betray Islam and to betray commitment to Allah just for the purpose of pleasing the king or the president to get salam, I am telling you, you are getting a fake salam. You're not getting a true salam. Actually, if you are given the choice, you should choose the salam of Allah by pleasing who?
Allah.
Not by pleasing other than Allah. You know, many people ask me personally about homosexuality. and they try to debate me, I tell them, okay, before we go into debate, let me tell you something. There is no way I can accept that without betraying my religion. All right? So it doesn't matter how hard you're going to debate with me. There is no way I can accept that without betraying Islam. So, you know, it's like, okay, I'll debate with you, but you know the result. I mean, I'm not open, like, to... I'm not open to be, like, to changes that are not permissible by Islam. You can debate with me about issues that are permissible by Islam. Like, Islam gives you the choice between A, B, C, D, and E. Yeah, you can debate with me about it. And we can debate which one is better. But when Allah says no about something and it's clear no, save your breath. It's just like somebody else was debating me about drinking wine. It's okay. You know, I said, he keeps saying, little bit of wine and save your breath. There is no way I can say drinking wine or liquor or beer is okay without betraying Islam. Just let's set it straight. Eat pork. Pork, I'm a food scientist, and pork has this and that, and it's good to eat. Save your breath. There is no way I'm not open. These issues are determined, okay, by Islam, and it does not leave you an area where you can move. The issues that are open for debate, like medical abortion or abortion for medical reasons. Like, for example, if it is likely that the mother would be hurt because she's pregnant. All right? But this possibility is not high risk. All right? Should she get an abortion or not? This is a judgmental issue. It's a lot of people can argue and have opinion. And I'm open for discussion. Okay, now what is the risk? I have to be a medical doctor to value the risk and weigh the risk. And then I have to be knowledgeable about Islam so that I can see if this much risk acceptable for abortion or not. Because if there's no reason, that's black and white. All right? If the mother is healthy and there's no risk, known risk, then it's obvious. Abortion is haram. It's just like killing a human being. All right? If the mother is at high risk, that's obvious. That is, abortion here is a must. Because you cannot give a priority of the life of the child over the life of the mother. That is well known. So now, the area that is gray area open for discussion is what's in between. So yeah, okay, come, let's discuss it. All right? And there is a lot of areas in Islam that are open for discussion. All right? But there are certain areas of Islam that is well determined and well established. Door is closed. All right? So if I will seek to please the president by agreeing with the president about one thing like that, then I am not believing truly that Allah is the true owner of security from harm. If I truly believe in that, then I will give priority to pleasing Allah because He is the true owner of salam. What happens to the magicians of the Pharaoh? You know the story.
They believe Musa afterwards.
Yeah.
They got killed.
Exactly. They came with the wagons and wagons full of toys, magic toys, to trick the people and show that they really can do better magic than Musa. And not only that, but they were prepared to undo the magic of Musa. You understand? Like, they were not only prepared to wow people about their magic, they were also prepared to expose the magic done by Musa. Like, show people that it's fake. Prove to the people it's fake, right? So when the competition started, They threw all these toys, and it was a big seed, you know. There were thousands of them, and with lots of wagons, they filled up the stadium with all kinds of magic tricks you can imagine. Everybody, Allah mentions in the Quran, He said, they brought a magnificent magic. Like, wow! Everybody's like, oh my God, the amount of magic filled up the stadium in no time. Alright, and then they told Prophet Musa, yeah, okay, go ahead now. And they were ready to uncover him. Let's see what kind of trick would show everybody that he's, you know, he's not really a magician. He's just like, he does a lousy magic. And then Prophet Musa threw his stick. The amazing part that made them really believe is that the actual stick changed the reality of the stick. For them to come up with the snakes, what they did, they put mercury in tubes, right? What happens if you have a mercury in a tube? No. No, the tube will keep vibrating. Would never stop vibrating. These tubes, they made it look like snakes, all right? And then they put mercury in it. And then when they throw it, okay, when they throw the sticks, the tube will go out of the stick, okay? And because of the heavy, do you know that the mercury is about two times, is almost two times heavier than iron? And it's a liquid, so it's really heavy. So when you throw the stick, the tube, because the mercury is so heavy, will come out. And then when it comes out of the stick, it keeps vibrating like a snake, all right? So that was the trick. But for Prophet Musa, it was an actual stick. When he threw it, it changed the reality of the stick. It changed it into a real snake. Not only that, but the snake went crawling, huge snake went crawling, and the snake swallowed every single toy they had in the stadium. Every single toy swallowed it. And then it went back as a stick in the hand of Prophet Musa. They know what magic is. They said, huh, this is a true miracle. It's not magic. That guy is have a true miracle. True miracle. And they all bow down. Now, the Pharaoh wanted to be treated like God on earth. So he wanted to be treated as the true owner of Salam. He said, if I grant you security from harm, I am the Pharaoh of Egypt. Nobody dares to touch you. I am the true owner of Salam around here. And when they came, they said, would we be granted a reward if we win the competition? He said, not only that, but you will be close to me. From among the close people to me. The people are close to me. Like you would be my favorite people. Alright? If you can just win that competition to prove that Musa is a big fat liar. And then they thought he offered them salam and closeness to him. They thought that is a good deal. And then they suddenly found out that the Pharaoh is a fake God. He doesn't own the true Salam. So they said, they bowed down to Musa, and the Pharaoh said, what? How dare you do that? Oh, yeah, he is your teacher who taught you magic. Right away, he accused them without even hearing from them. He said, he is your teacher who taught you magic. You know what? I am going to crucify you. I am going to cut your right hand against left leg. And I'm going to show you who is the true owner of safety from harm here, security from harm. I'm going to show you. Then, and let Musa, let Musa protect you. Let who? Musa protect you. Let Musa help you. I'm going to show you who is the one who's truly powerful here. who's the true God here? You followed that idiot? I am going to show you how could he help you that he wouldn't be able to help you. Guards! And the guards attacked them. And then he said, cut their hands left against right and crucify them. Ouch. The guards, they were a large number of magicians. They spent a lot of time cutting, butchering, like cutting their hands and arms and crucifying them. And it was there was a lot of blood, and it was done in front of the people. The question is, they gave him a simple reply. They said, you can do, you can harm us, yes, but only in this life. You can harm us only where? In this life. But you know what? We believe in our Lord because once this life is over, you have absolutely no power to even protect yourself from the punishment of Allah. Now the question is, I want a smart person to answer this tricky question. How did they know that much about Allah if they became believers just a few minutes ago? Smart people. How did they know in few minutes what a lot of people, a lot of Muslims don't understand, even though they are born Muslims? How did they figure out that? There has to be an answer, a reason. You know what was the reason? Yeah. Prophet Musa has been a prophet for a long time and he has been preaching about Allah. Prophet Musa has been a prophet for a long time and he has been preaching about what?
Allah.
The only problem is that they were calling him a liar. But they knew what is he preaching. They knew all about Allah from his preaching. Oh. So when they believed him, they immediately accepted Sammy, troublemaker. Sit down.
I was throwing that thing away.
They immediately accepted what he said, and they immediately followed what he has been preaching. You understand? So they had the knowledge. Just like the people who become Muslims. What do they say to the Prophet? They say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Before even the Prophet tells them to say that. Why? Because they know that. The Prophet has been saying all along, say la ilaha illallah, say la ilaha illallah. And they're saying no, 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 no. Now they want to become Muslims, so they know what to say, right? They know what to do. So they say la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Because they know it, but they are ready to become Muslims, so they are ready to declare the Shahada. But they knew Shahada way before they declared it, right? Same thing. Now, the question here is that what they did is right or wrong? Did they, can we call them stupid people who got themselves in trouble?
No.
Can we say that? When they stood up for Allah and for Islam, and they faced the Pharaoh, and then the Pharaoh wrath came on them, were they right or wrong? A lot of people today, when they face injustice and they stand up for justice and resist and fight injustice, they end up in trouble. A lot of people today end up in a deep trouble. And unfortunately, others are calling them stupid. It's like you get yourself in trouble. Why did you do this to yourself? All right? And the answer is because I am seeking to please who?
Allah.
Yeah, who is the true owner of Salam?
Allah.
But those guys can hurt you really bad. Can kill you, can hurt you. Yes? We say, like the Pharaoh's magicians say, sure, but they can hurt us only when?
Here.
In this life, Allah grants them temporarily, short-term powers. Why? To test us. To see, are we going to please Allah or please them? Are we going to betray Allah and please them, or we're going to ignore them and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's part of the test. Now, why do you have to resist? Because Allah says, if it wasn't in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah says, if it wasn't because of the opposition, because of the what?
Opposition
of the good guys to the bad guys, the earth would have been fully corrupt. And human life would have ended from the earth. So what makes the earth stay in a good shape is that there are people who are opposing, good people who are opposing the bad people. There are reformers who are opposing the corrupt people. The question is, but the bad guys are so strong and so powerful, they're really going to hurt me if I oppose them. Yes, that is true. Nobody's saying that's not true. But let me tell you something. First of all, they might not be able to hurt you. You know what? Allah might save you. Allah might override their power and make them unable to hurt you. Really? Yeah, sure. Make dua to Allah. And if Allah decides, He might make them unable to hurt you. And I can tell you a lot of stories about people who resorted to Allah for protection. And Allah protected them. And the bad guys could not hurt them. Could not hurt them. Allah, I can tell you, for example, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as an example. They were really, really, really after him. They wanted to hurt him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to stop him from succeeding. And then what happened? Did they manage to do that? They couldn't kill him. They couldn't hurt him. And they could not stop him from preaching Islam. And Islam, they could not stop him from ruling over them. Another example, what happened to the Pharaoh? Didn't Allah, remember the story of the Pharaoh that I told you before? Allah showed him what in the dream?
He was going to destroy.
Yeah. Allah showed him the way he's going to be destroyed. And then it's like Allah saying, okay, Mr. Pharaoh, the king, the highest God on earth, all right? Here is how am I going to destroy you. Now show me how you're going to stop it. Was he able to stop it?
No.
No.
Man, that is a very, very high level of challenge. It's like I am telling you, and whatever you're trying to avoid is going to happen. And the Pharaoh tried hard. He tried killing all baby boys, and then he couldn't continue doing that. And then he had to spare baby boys 1 year and kill them the other year. And Allah, to even challenge him more, he made Musa be born in the year he spares or the year he kills?
Kill.
It's like, huh, I am not going to take advantage of the year that you're sparing baby boys. I am going to bring Musa even in the year that you are slaughtering. Now show me. Okay. Now, Allah showed him in the dream that Musa is going to grow up like in his backyard. All right? And Allah said, okay, and Musa is going to grow up in your house. Show me how you're going to stop it. Okay. Show me. All right? So see the challenge? And Allah is able to do that. So there are good chances that you, Allah, will decide to protect you. And if Allah decides to protect you, wallahi, if the forces in heavens and earth try to hurt you, they won't be able to. Prophet Isa, Allah decided to protect him. So what happened? What happened? The Romans were strong or weak?
Strong.
The Romans strong. Were what?
Strong.
Strong, right? Very strong. And they were in full control. Now, if the Romans want to kill him, how do you save him? I mean, really, they were strong. And they had spies and they had control on every piece of the land. And they decided to kill him. Okay. Allah doesn't want him to be killed. All right? So how did Allah save him?
By saving him.
He took him up to heaven. Okay? Does Allah need a miracle to save somebody? No. How? Allah saved the Prophet Muhammad without miracles like that, like taking him to heaven. Prophet Muhammad was saved using the laws of nature. Unlike Prophet Isa was saved outside of the laws of nature. So the message here that you need to understand very well. And I may see you again, I may not see you again. Okay, we might meet or not meet. Allah knows better. But I want to leave you with one thing. Don't you ever, ever, ever believe somebody and betray Allah. Don't you ever. That is treating somebody the way Allah should have been treated. Don't you ever, under no circumstances. The least you can do is stay quiet. If you can't oppose and say, no, that is wrong. If you can't do that, at least stay quiet. But don't say, yeah, you're right. Don't say, yeah, you're right. If you can say, no, you're wrong, that's good. If you can't say, no, you're not wrong, you feel weakness, just stay quiet then. You'd be safe. All right? So keep that in your mind. Don't you ever, 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 ever please somebody over and betray Allah. Don't you ever seek money by betraying Allah. Don't you do that. This money is a curse, and this money is going to hurt you. Even if you can use it in this life to buy a car, to buy a house, that is not the true security. The true security, when Allah says, I grant you security. Don't you ever try to evade prayers to save yourself the pain. For I guarantee you that your shares of pain has been what? Pre-assigned. You're going to get them, you're going to what? Get them. If you don't get them in prayer and fasting, and play smart and say, how? I'm going to run away and evade my shares of pain. Let me tell you something. You're going to get them in a disease. You're going to get them in a disaster. You're going to get them in a calamity. But you are not going to be able to evade the shares assigned to you by Allah. Huh?
I don't think those guys kind of get it because they weren't in our Quranic class.
Right. And that's why I'm saying it simply. Allah has assigned to you the shares. The shares of pain has been pre-assigned by who? Allah. The shares of wealth have been pre-assigned by who?
Allah.
Allah. The shares of happiness has been pre-assigned by Allah. All right? Now, you want to get, it's up to you, how do you want to get your shares? Halal way or haram way? Your shares of pain have been pre-assigned. So there are two ways to get your shares of pain. How? By fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayers, you get your shares of pain through fasting and prayers with a lot of hasanat and blessing. Let's say you play smart and say, no, I don't want to fast or pray. Fasting and praying is so painful and boring, I'm not going to fast and pray. Why? Because I want to avoid the pain. You really think so? Yeah? You know that your shares of pain are being pre-assigned by Allah and you have to get them anyway? Yeah? Allah will deliver them to your door. How? Diseases, disasters, calamity, loss of wealth, loss of children. Allah will get you, will deliver your shares of pain to you. So you don't think you ever, ever going to evade the pain assigned to you by running, by betraying Allah. Because by betraying Allah, you're going to get whatever you're going to get and pre-assigned to you by Allah, you're going to get it. But you're going to get it with a curse. And with suffering, with the punishment of Allah. But if you do it the halal way, you get it with a lot of hasanat. A lot of hasanat. Fasting is painful. Yeah, we know fasting is painful. It doesn't take a genius to figure it out. All right. But I don't want to be fasting because I want to avoid the pain. Really? You think so? You think if you don't fast, you're going to avoid the pain? Do you really think so? If you really think so, then you are an idiot. Why? Because you will get the pain in a different way. Allah will give it to you. Why? Because it has been pre-assigned. It's part of your share that has been pre-assigned to Allah. If you cheat to get $1,000 and you say, yep, I got the $1,000, I'm so clever. You really think so?
Like yeah. The camel story.
Like the camel story. Do you really think so? Do you know that these $1,000 has been pre-assigned to you? And it's up to you how to get them, the haram way or the halal way? Do you really think that when you get them the haram way, you're being clever? No, you're being stupid. Why? Because if you don't get them the haram way, you will have to get them the halal way. If you insist on not getting them the haram way and saying to yourself, I am not going to cheat to get them, I am just simply not, this is not going to happen, then Allah will give them to you the halal way with a lot of blessings. Stock market goes up, price of your home goes up, you make a good deal, your business flourish. Whatever the reason, Allah... Whatever the reason is, Allah will make it happen in such a way that you get the same $1,000, but you get them halal way, with a lot of hasanat.
Like the camel guy.
Like the camel guy who stole the camel, and if he would have waited, he would have gotten the camel as a gift. You know about that story? Okay, Ali ibn Abi Talib had a camel, and he wanted to do some business, all right? And he wanted somebody to keep the camel for him, so he gave it to a guy, and the guy really, he was looking at the camel with a lot of desire to own the camel, with a lot of greed. So Ali ibn Abi Talib gave him the camel, he went away. In his way, he was thinking, I want to make hasanat, so let me give him the camel as a gift. So when he went back to give him the camel as a gift, he found that he has stolen the camel and run away. He has what?
Stolen
the camel and run away. He said, Subhanallah, if he would have waited, he would have gotten the camel the what? As a gift. The camel is assigned to him by Allah anyway. If he would have said, no, I am not going to steal it, he would have gotten it as a what? Gift. But he did not reject it the haram way, so he got it the haram way.
He rejected the halal way.
He didn't trust that he would get it the halal way. He said, if I don't steal it, I am not going to get it. All right? So he ran away with it. But if he would have said, no, I am not going to steal it, Ali ibn Abi Talib would have come back and gave it to him as a gift. So the lesson is clear. It's the camel is yours, but it's up to you how do you want to get it. So whatever will happen to you, will happen to you. It's up to you how do you want to get it. You betray Islam and please somebody else to get it, you get it the haram way. You refuse to get it the haram way, you get it the halal way. Alright? So inshallah, I will see you. And your homework is to summarize and send it by
email.
And I will reply back with your final grade. I will reply back with your what?
Final grade.
Assalamu alaikum.
So will there be a final?